Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. The House Oversight Committee's Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets held a hearing Tuesday afternoon on the release of former President John F. Kennedy's assassination records. Over the next several episodes, we're going to be covering some of the highlights of this very important hearing. In this week's episode, we're going to hear the sworn testimony of filmmaker Oliver Stone, whose 1992 movie JFK rekindled interest in Kennedy's assassination. We're also going to hear the testimony of James DiEugenio, who is a JFK author and researcher.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
For decades, the truth about JFK's assassination has been hidden from us. Those who really know what happened are all almost dead, and what's left is locked up in Langley. The Warren Commission said Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. There was no second shooter, no grassy knoll, no cover-up. End of story. But something amazing happened on Capitol Hill yesterday when, after poring over thousands of unredacted files, JFK scholars testified that Oswald didn't kill Kennedy. One of those scholars, Jefferson Morley, said this last night.
You have dozens of people who said that they saw a blowout wound in the back of Kennedy's head caused by a gunshot from the front. So that shot could not have been fired by Lee Harvey Oswald. So no, I don't believe Oswald was responsible for Kennedy's death. The evidence doesn't support that claim. He could not have fired a shot from the front.
If this is true, then our government's been lying about who killed Kennedy for 60 years. Why would they lie? I think we know why. Director Oliver Stone told Congress that secrecy is the enemy of the truth, then called on him to reopen the investigation and interrogate the CIA. 9 months ago, Trump was almost killed. And our government is covering that up, too. We know absolutely nothing about Thomas Crooks and the circumstances surrounding the assassination attempt, and the government's incompetence is extremely fishy. Trump was almost killed a second time by a man who'd been to Ukraine and who our intelligence agencies were aware of. And that's become another black hole. Director Oliver Stone testified at the JFK assassination hearing this week. Here's what he said.
And let us praise the representatives, Democrat and Republican, who believe with the vast majority of the American people that the truth is the greatest treasure a Socratic soul can attain in this lifetime. This is our democracy. This is our presidency. It belongs to us. Treat us with respect.
Co-authors of JFK Revisited, Through the Looking Glass, Jim DiEugenio and director Oliver Stone. All right, Oliver, how close are we getting to the truth of what happened in Dallas that day?
Jesse, I don't know. You've been very good on this. You have a memory and you've followed up. I was sitting in Congress in 1992 to testify for the JFK Records Act, which was the result of my film, JFK, in 91. But it was a good act. They tried, the ARB, they tried to get as much information. They didn't get any cooperation, as you know, from the CIA at all, practically nothing. And so many of the other people, they didn't come forward with the documents. They didn't do what they were going to say they'd do. The spirit of that law was the only exception would be national security, and it had to be serious national security. Well, this is a question of national security, and it just keeps getting delayed and kicked around. The kick the can down the road kind of thing, and it's frustrating. So Mr. Trump has started at least a new energy, and he's given us, say, look, I want all the files out, no exceptions now, nothing. And that was the original law. They didn't abide by it. Jim, this is my researcher here.
The law actually said in 2017, in October, everything should be declassified. There should be no exceptions at all. And the only person who can stop that was the president. Well, on that day, he was visited by some intel higher-ups, and instead of declassifying everything like he said he wanted to do, he ended up delaying it, all right? And he even delayed it into the Biden administration. And the Biden administration, if anything, was even worse, you know, on this particular issue. So what happened, I'm sure you're aware of this, Jesse, is that people like Andy Napolitano and Mr. Rogan reminded candidate Trump of what he should have done in his first administration. And therefore, I think that's the impetus behind this executive order. All right. And in addition to that, we have Congresswoman Luna, who is going to take a legislative attack on this subject. And I really hope between both of these angles, we finally will get every last piece of paper, okay, on this case that's haunted America for the last six decades.
And you'd think the president, after having a bullet ripped through his ear and almost a pot shot hit him on his own golf course in West Palm Beach, that he would just want to just make everything transparent. Right, Oliver? If it was one president to do it, it would be this president.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And I am appalled by the lack of follow-up on that, too. I'd like to know more about who Thomas Crooks was, his family, this whole situation. They incinerated the body, cremated the body right away. That's very strange. And the other fellow, he's got a colorful history, but he's certainly the type who would do this, who would shoot as part of a plan, probably.
We had the same suspicion, too, just because multiple federal agencies had crossed paths with him as he was in and out of Ukraine through customs and everything. And it just doesn't add up. Jim, what new evidence have you seen from these recent files declassified that just made you say, wow?
Well, you're probably aware of this, Jesse. I thought the Schlesinger memo was very interesting in the fact that the two most important pages of the whole memo were blacked out, all right? And this was, of course, Schlesinger's revelations that the CIA had an inordinate influence over the State Department. In fact, something like 47%, you know, of these supposed State Department guys were really CIA undercover people. And the point, for example, is that during the attempted overthrow of de Gaulle, Kennedy was at loose ends because he says, look, I'm not encouraging this thing, but you got to understand, I don't know what these CIA guys are doing.
He had no control.
And in our documentary, JFK Revisited, we talked about this point, how Alan Dulles and certain CIA officers were actually encouraging the overthrow of de Gaulle. And this, of course, leads to the firing of Alan Dulles, Dick Bissell, and Charles Cabell. I believe that's the first and only time in history that any president has decapitated the whole top level of the CIA.
Yeah, and then he was decapitated by a bullet.
I now recognize Mr. Stone for an opening statement.
Thank you, Chairman Luna. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, I was here 33 years ago. I was sat in one of these rooms in Washington, and I told the congressmen and women about this movie I just made, JFK. And half of them were wondering what all the fuss was about. It was just a movie. And the other half were passionate in responding to the cries of their constituents that demanded no more national security reasons preventing this from getting to clarity on our president's assassination. The Warren Commission of 1964, as it turned out, got us to second base with a lot of unknowns, obfuscations. And it all got crazier and crazier, sides taken on this and on that, and what happened that awful day. It wasn't clear as to who the heck did this. Killed the president at high noon in Dealey Plaza in Dallas on November 22. And then year by grudging year, we learned in increments a little, but not much more. often one step forward and two steps back. And now it's 2025. As a result of the 1992 hearings that resulted from my film, in which I participated, Congress passed the JFK Records Act, which firmly said, all the records out, unless you have a strong reason to protest our national security. All the records out, which is exactly what this case was, a national security matter. Our president was killed. What is more important than that? Well, the Assassination Records Review Board really tried for a few years till 1998 to get those records out, but they didn't get any cooperation, although mandated by law, from the Central Intelligence Agency, which operated and still operates as a taxpayer-funded intelligence agency that arrogantly considers itself outside our laws. They say things like, we will get back to you on that, and they never do. Or they give me a day and I'll come up with a reason why this matter is a national security matter, etc., etc. Nothing of importance has been revealed by the CIA in all these years, although we know from other records that there's a illegal criminal activities in every facet of our foreign policy. There are many people, some in this room today, who do care and remember the details and the clues. There are real people alive with the integrity of a true detective, willing year by year to track this cold, cold case, to not so much prove it or debunk it, but essentially to know. To the people here and all over the world who loved President John Kennedy, who know he really wanted peace in our time. And by that, he said clearly in one of his greatest speeches, not a Pax Americana enforced by American weapons of war, but a genuine peace. A peace he described so beautifully that we could all share in because we all live on this planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's futures. And we are all mortal. Can we return to a world where we can trust our government to level with us, the people for which this government exists? And if some people in power betrayed our Constitution and chose the path of war over peace, let the rest of us see past the lies and let us hear what we think happened. And with that knowledge, let us forgive, but not forget the transgressions, and let us praise the representatives, Democrat and Republican, who believe with the vast majority of the American people that the truth is the greatest treasure a Socratic soul can attain in this lifetime. I ask the committee to reopen what the Warren Commission failed miserably to complete. I ask you in good faith, outside all political considerations, to reinvestigate the assassination of this President Kennedy from the scene of the crime to the courtroom, which means the chain of custody on the rifle, the bullets, the fingerprints, the autopsy that defies belief, and that if it were a murder, we'd have given to the poorest man dying in a gutter. Let us reinvestigate the fingerprints of intelligence all over Lee Harvey Oswald from 1959 to 1960, his violent death in 1963. And most importantly, this CIA, whose muddy footprints are all over this case, a true interrogation. James Angleton, before he died, who was one of the original members of the CIA, was talking about Dulles and Helms and the others, what he called the Grand Masters. And he's a Catholic. Angleton was a Catholic in search, perhaps, of repentance before his death. He did say, quote, if you were in a room with them, you were in a room full of people that you had to believe would deservedly end up in hell. I guess I will see them soon. This is our democracy. This is our presidency. It belongs to us. Treat us with respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. I now recognize Mr. DiEugenio for an opening statement.
Why are we here? Why are we dealing with a subject that occurred over 60 years ago? Well, The JFK case is one that simply will not go away, no matter how much MSM tries to minimize it or make it disappear. 65% of the public does not buy the Warren Commission verdict of Oswald as the lone assassin. But even more startling, and this is very important, I think it speaks to the point that Mr. Garcia was talking about. Over 90% of the public believes that something monumental happened after the Kennedy assassination, that the United States went from a country that was bathed in triumphant optimism after World War II to one that was now covered with cynicism and skepticism. All right, so as you can see, me, Oliver, and Jeff are not alone in those feelings, all right? Now, what's the immediate reason why we're here today is, well, according to a congressional statute, we should not be here. And I'm sure you're aware of this, because the JFK Records Collection Act said that in October of 2017, everything on the Kennedy case should be declassified, no matter what. And President Trump actually talked about this about a week and a half before it was supposed to be done. And he said he was looking forward to doing this. And by the way, if you know the statute, he was the only one who could stop it from happening. So on the day this was supposed to occur, he was visited by some higher-ups in the intel community. And under their, I believe, unwise advice, he reversed what he had said. He did declassify some documents, but not all. But before anybody jumps on me, I don't want to say that this is a partisan issue, because President Biden was pretty much the same thing, all right? And some would say, like my friend Andrew Eiler here, that he might have been even worse on this subject. Now, during the last presidential campaign, candidate Trump was reminded of this reversal. It was not by the MSM, of course. It was by two independent broadcasters, Joe Rogan and Andrew Napolitano. And I think this was the impetus for him to sign the executive order, which he did. And to his credit, he added the much-ignored King case and the RFK case. Now this committee has decided to back that executive order up, which I think is salutary. So hopefully we will now see the final documents on the JFK released over 60 years after his assassination, and hopefully the beginning of an excavation on the RFK and the MLK cases. It's a cliche, but it's true. Secrecy is the enemy of democracy. It's the enemy of the Republican form of government. And a misinformed or uninformed public cannot make good decisions. And a compliant press helps cushion the public from that fact. And this process leads to a loss of belief in both the government and the media. And you can examine every poll out there, okay, and they'll tell you that. When President Kennedy took office, 75% of the public believed in what the government was saying. By the 90s, it was down to 19%, all right? The biggest year drop was the year the Warren Commission was issued, all right? Now, from the beginning, the FBI and the CIA, as these two gentlemen have mentioned, have refused to divulge all the information they have had about the murder of President Kennedy. And in I want to use a popular example, which I'm sure everybody here is familiar with. I'm sure you're all familiar because it actually made it into the MSM about the Schlesinger memo. This was the memo written by Arthur Schlesinger at JFK's request to do a top-down reorganization of the CIA because he believed that he was deceived and lied to about the Bay of Pigs invasion. All right. Now, I'm sure you also know that that was censored. About two of the most important pages were censored by the CIA. Okay. These dealt with a very important subject, which is the control of the State Department by the Central Intelligence Agency. that many of these State Department employees overseas are not really State Department employees. They are really CIA guys undercover. And Schlesinger cited the Paris office, all right, which is very important because these guys are trying to overthrow de Gaulle at the time, and JFK gets on the phone with the ambassador and says, look, I don't know what these guys are doing half the time. Okay, so I don't even know if we're involved with this covertly or not. All right, and he was trying, and Schlesinger's memo was trying to get control of that. Now, my friend Andrew gave me, it's bad enough that the two pages were cut, but the CIA version of the Schlesinger memo, and you should all know this, the CIA version of the Schlesinger memo cut it by 60%, all right? And of the remaining pages, about 40% of those pages were totally redacted. And this is what I mean. How can you be an informed person when you don't even know this stuff? You know, when you have a first gatekeeper, in this case, the Central Intelligence Agency, keeping you from the wishes of what JFK and Arthur Schlesinger were trying to do. Now, any attorney, which I'm sure we have some here, and any investigator will tell you that you cannot conduct a full investigation unless you have the whole case file. Well, here we are in 2025, still looking for the end of that case file, you know, on the JFK case. Now, let me relate in closing two episodes from the last attempt of getting all these documents out there. This is which I'm sure you're familiar with, the ARB, the Assassination Records and Review Board, which my friend here said lasted from 1994 to 1998. When the board had its first meeting with the CIA, they flashed a memo on the wall, and they said, we're going to declassify this unless you have a humdinger of an excuse, all right? And the CIA liaison said, well, I don't have anything right now, but give me a couple of minutes and I'll think of something. This is what these guys have gotten away with. This is what they're used to. Now, when the FBI came in, for their first meeting, the review board did the same thing. You know, unless you give us a great excuse, we're going to declassify this document. The CIA liaison came in the FBI liaison came in with a lawyer. The FBI liaison was so shocked, he turned to the lawyer and said, can they really do that? And the lawyer said, yes, they can. All right. So this is the kind of arrogance that you're going to be dealing with. All right. So I really hope that people will learn from the past, learn from these experiences. You got a difficult road ahead of yourselves, and I congratulate you on trying to change things. The FBI and the CIA should not have the last word on JFK's murder. You should.
If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. In honor of the release of the JFK assassination records, I'm sending out signed copies of my book. If you would like one of these, please email me at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. The price is $40 for the soft cover and $60 for the hardcover, plus shipping and handling. I can promise you, you won't be disappointed in the book. It's an oversized coffee table style book. The book is over 500 pages with almost 1,000 pictures. You won't be disappointed. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.